Hi, everyone. This is Kimberly.
And this is Katie.
Broadcasting from the apocalypse.
Oh, good Lord.
This is a date with Dateline. And hope everyone's doing well out there.
Hi, everyone.
This is the black box. This is what this episode is called. Not to be confused with The Box.
Yeah.
Which was this season or last season?
Recent. Like within the last couple months.
Wait, no, we had The Music Box. I'm not talking about The Music Box or The Box. So the titles used to be house / mansion / cabin on the, in the, upon the, and then the street name.
Right.
Or woods or water, lake, ocean. Now it seems to all be revolving around boxes. Like a UPS themed episode will be next. Priority mail will be the next episode.
I'm glad that that's what you thought of because...
Well, I'm trying not to say what I'm actually thinking of.
There is an actual current season of RuPaul's Drag Race happening right now. So for those fans out there, y'all know what I'm thinking. We're all thinking the same thing because we're watching RuPaul's Drag Race.
Oh my God. I'm not. Yeah. And I still thought of it. So there's that. But we're just going to call this episode Sex, Lies, and a Christian Bike Club because that's really the alternative title was done for us by Andrea Canning.
And I'm not going to tell you what I thought it said until halfway through the episode when she said, is it when we hear it the third time is when I actually understood what the word was. So I will tell you at some point what I thought we were going to be talking about.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. I'm excited. Mm-hmm. A few people online were confused as well. So.
Oh, really?
Also, this aired on Friday the 13th and day two of the coronavirus quarantine. I saw a meme that was of Michael Myers, sorry.
Oh, wow.
Jason.
What's going on?
I don't know. Jason in the Halloween mask and he's crying and it says, when it's your holiday, but everyone can only care about the virus or everyone's only scared of a virus. So this is season 28, episode 22, hosted by Andrea, which means that we got our three-peat that we were talking about jokingly. In jest, we said we'd maybe get a three-peat. We never thought we'd actually get one.
Sorry, what was episode one? I'm that dumb.
It was...
But Where Are the Children wasn't
The
Andrea.
House on the Hill.
Right.
The Perfect Guy.
Oh, you're right. Okay, I just forgot about The House on the Hill completely. Excuse me. That's not a shade on that
And
episode.
The ducks and the horses?
Yeah, I blacked them out. I blacked boxed them out of my memory.
Is that where we're going with this episode? Is that an indicative of how we're going to do? I'm really excited. You're so proud. Okay, so we are in South Carolina in this episode.
Sure are. Wow. Are we ever?
Love it.
Yeah.
Starts with a man named Terry Tinker. Terry Tinker.
I have a theory about Terry Tinker, if you'd like to hear it.
Well, first, let me say who he is, because it's the cutest name ever.
I have a theory about his name, who he actually is.
The coroner. So, never mind. You're like, Terry Tinker, coroner,
Now, so here's the, just picture this. His name is Terry Tinker. He's Santa's right-hand elf. He's the one, Santa Claus and Terry Tinker. Terry Tinker's the one that does, like, the studious note-taking for Santa. That's Terry Tinker. And he's having fun. He tinkers with all the toys in Santa's workshop. That's the voice you have to use.
One day he decided he liked embalming dead people.
One day he decided to revolve his career around death. He just got fed up. He did the exact
opposite.
He rebelled.
Katie, you see a lot of death already in the elf world. Have you ever seen a child sweatshop?
Oh.
There's a lot of accidents going on there.
Yeah, that's true. So Terry Tinker had had enough and was like, I'm going to go into this field.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to change lives.
Mm-hmm.
Or change deaths, rather. Okay, that's it. That's my last.
So Terry Tinker was called to a crime scene in 2016. And he and Andrea are climbing down an embankment, which, you know, makes me very nervous because she's our queen. I don't want her to break her ankle or stain her clothing. Now, a 53-year-old woman had been ejected from a Jeep And the coroner goes to the scene of the accident, and he recognizes the woman as his friend, Judy Baldwin. She had dark circles under her eyes, and her eyes are bulging. It's called raccoon eyes, which is from a brain injury, which is the cutest phrase for something absolutely horrific.
It really is. It's like she had panda eyes, which is actually when your brain is on fire. Yeah.
It's also me every morning because I don't take off my mascara and I wake up with trash panda eyes every morning. So Jamie Baldwin, the husband, he only had minor injuries from the crash.
Right.
The Jeep had spun off the road and down an embankment and crashed into a creek. Now, I was a little surprised that they didn't pronounce it crick. Now, I don't know in what places in the South they pronounce it crick, or if that's even true that place people do say that, but or if that's only on TV, but I really wanted to hear it.
Arkansas.
You think? Or you should make that up.
No, okay. But it sounds right.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to go down to the crick.
The 911 operator is on the phone with Jamie the night of the accident. He's saying, do you want to try CPR? And Jamie's crying and says, I already tried. But he's still Southern enough to say ma'am. He's like, no, ma'am.
There are so many sirs and ma'am throughout this entire episode. Everyone is so polite in South Carolina. I'm going for the whole state is polite.
You're talking about a murder. It's amazing. But I thought his 911 call sounded pretty good. What did you think?
Yeah, very good.
It sounded good.
I mean, very believable. Yeah. Sorry, and by good, I mean new listeners. If it's a good 911 call, it means it's not someone that sounds like they're faking it.
Yeah, we're not like listening to it like it's music. I love that new U2 album and the 911 calls.
Yeah, the 911 call from Black Box. Okay.
So the detective we meet with, Detective Reynolds, with Salt and Pepper Beard, who I for some reason kept wanting to call Greybeard because I thought that's someone on Game of Thrones, and then I looked it up and I found out it was someone on Game of Thrones, but not who I thought. And I think I was confusing Grey Worm and Grey Joy. But regardless, we meet a later guy with a way better gray beard, even though it's more of a gray mustache.
It's a gray mustache that extends into the beard area.
Yeah. And it's like a change your life sort of facial hair situation.
It is a choice. It is a conscious choice and a personality choice. You have to have a certain personality to wear that facial hair.
And sorry, by change your life, I meant it changed my life. It probably changed his life as well, but it changed. We are both, Katie and I are both changed because of it, I think.
Yeah,
but
we're better for it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm better or worse. I'm just different.
So it's better than being indifferent. Okay. Good job.
So, but that's not this guy's beard. This guy's beard is like black with a little bit of flecks of gray. Anyways, yes.
Detective
Reynolds.
That wasn't confusing at all. That's fine.
So this is Detective Reynolds, and I like him for like a second. Thought he was going to be the okay hero of the episode. I was wrong. He kind of fell from grace mid-episode.
But then we have a little redemption.
We do. So there's blood on the seat of the Jeep, and there's a cloth rag with blood on it, which I thought was really weird, because why would there be a rag in the car that had blood on it? I thought that was weird. Yeah. But the cop says his first impression is that it's an accident. And he says, until proven otherwise, it's an accident. Which I guess because everyone's innocent until proven guilty. But I would think almost as a detective, once you kind of go the other way around and go, until I'm proved that it's not an accident, it's a murder.
We've had a murder in Savannah. That is not this county.
I'm saying I don't know if that's the way you're supposed to think of it. Or as a maybe you're just not supposed to think about either way. You're supposed to just go, I'm looking for the truth, regardless.
And whether or not you can handle it. I think that this is a regional thing, is what I'm saying. Some counties, we assume that you're guilty because you probably are. Some counties, we think that every man should walk free until it's proven they're a murderer.
Okay. And not just because it's like in the Constitution.
Right.
Okay. So Judy has two sons who Twitter was debating on if they were hot. The consensus seemed to be they were hot.
Yes. I think that's an accurate assessment.
Not appropriate at all, people, but I know you're all on quarantine, but keep yourselves together. No,
they're attractive. They're not like the Jonas Brothers. Are the Jonas Brothers hot? I just said that name, but I'm not sure. I keep seeing these commercials for the voice where everyone's assuming the Jonas guy on it is hot. Okay.
Yeah.
They're not like hot. They're just, they're attractive men.
Yeah. I hope they're not listening because.
No, they're pleasant to look at. That's good. That's a good thing. I would like to be described as that.
Yeah. Totally. Yeah. It's like that episode of The Office where they're debating whether Hillary Swank is hot or not. The whole episode. It's a really good episode. So Judy's two sons, they go to the hospital, and Jamie, who's their stepdad, says, I wish it was me. So their actual dad had died 10 years earlier in a motorcycle crash, which makes this whole thing 10 times worse, because now they've lost both their parents in crashes. It is terrible. Judy's niece and nephew, who we meet, are also devastated. They were so close to Judy, they called her Little Judy, because she was 4'11", which I'm going to start. Joni's only 4'10 and a half, so I'm going to start calling her Lil Joni.
Oh, boy.
She was beloved by her family.
Yes,
the
she was.
Nephew realizes the night of the accident that no one's at the house with the dog. So he goes to check on the dog, and he finds a horror scene of blood, like, everywhere all over the living room. Like, up the walls, on the mantle, on the floor. We don't really. And then Lester says, a family horrified and mystified. This part I was a little confused about is if the police said to Jamie, we've seen what's at the house, what actually happened before the accident in the car, or if he said that, brought that up organically to them without knowing that they might have not gone to the house that night.
How did the police know? They didn't know. The only the nephew knows. When did the police find out?
They did go to the house that night. We find out later. They didn't do a great job when they went, but they did go to the house.
Did they go inside the house to look around?
Yes, they did.
We know that? Because I feel like if they had gone inside the house, okay. Well,
but
I'm
assuming that he knew that they were going, and that's why. Because I'm thinking, he could have just planned to clean it up and then tell them it was just the car accident. But right away, he tells them there were actually two accidents this night of nights.
Right.
So I guess knowing that they would come to the house at some point.
Okay.
I don't know exactly the timeline there is what I'm
saying. Yeah, I don't either. And I appreciate
like,
that you
did
don't
he offer that or information up?
Yes, I think he did. I think he offered it up. Yeah.
Okay.
That's the feeling I got, is that it wasn't, the detectives didn't go to the house, see the blood, and come back to him. Oh, I could be wrong about, whatever. It's one or the other. I'm not clear either. Okay.
So Judy's husband, Jamie, tells the police that two accidents that night. First, Judy had fallen at the house, and then they had crashed on the way to the hospital. So this guy is unluckier than the guy who had 10 people die in barn fires.
Oh, good Lord. Wait a minute. I have a question. So what did the nephew going have to do with anything? Was it the nephew that told the police?
That's why I don't really know. Or I think it's just to give us an exciting outro to the next commercial break. And so Lester can say a family horrified and mystified, which was worth it just for that. But
it was also that nephew. How old is that nephew? He's older. Does he have Benjamin Buttons? He was like much too old to be like nephew. I don't know. But it also, I think in
it
my
could
brain,
be her older sibling.
It definitely could. In my brain, I think I always equate nephew with young.
Right.
Like, I don't know why. They're still your nephew, even when you're older, even if they're old. Yeah.
The ages are a little confusing because Judy's like 53, but Jamie looks a bit older. And he's like 60. But I'm not sure at what point in the story he's 60. Oh, he's 60 a few at the end. So he right now is like 57. Anyways, not important. So Judy had been lonely after losing her husband.
Yeah.
She met Jamie, which was a great decision for her.
Look, on paper, he was all good. And even the son said it. He was a ex-911 operator, ex-firefighter. On paper, he's good. And they had a lot of fun. In those pictures, they're smiling and they look happy.
That's true. Okay. So she met Jamie and married him after 8 months.
Right.
Judy's family really liked the husband, Jamie, because like Katie said, he's a 911 operator, former police officer.
Mm-hmm.
The detective with the salt and pepper, Reynolds,
mm-hmm.
has also known Judy since he was a child. He calls Jamie in to ask him questions about the accident a week after the accident.
Was he in the hospital for a minute? Is that why?
No, he was fine. He barely had a scratch. So not sure why it took a week. In this, it's not an interrogation. It's literally he's just asking him questions about the accident because the detective thinks it looks like an accident. And Jamie's crying in this interrogation and saying, why couldn't I save her? And et cetera.
Yeah.
Again, doing a pretty believable job, I felt like.
Absolutely. In the interviews? Yeah.
Yeah. So he says they were decorating their Christmas tree and he went outside. And when he came back, she was on the floor. So he gathered that she was standing on this stepladder to decorate the tree and had fallen off the ladder and hit her head on the mantle, maybe.
We're going to get to this, but that must have been quite a stumble because you're not that high
up. There's so much blood. There's blood on the mantle. There's blood on the walls.
It's very funny that you keep saying that because there was not a lot of blood to me.
To me, it looked, for just falling, it was so, it wasn't like buckets of blood. I'm saying the amount of places, surfaces that had blood on it was a lot.
I feel like that's more that you're touching your head and touching something else. Does that make sense? You've hit your head, you're touching it, and you're wiping.
It's possible. It looked like blood spatter on the walls.
Did it? Okay.
Yeah.
All right. That's interesting you thought that. All right.
On the marble slab that's at the base of the fireplace also yes. has blood on it.
Yeah, it did.
And it was like in big droplets.
That was really hard to tell. I'm surprised you saw that because the way that the angle they were showing the picture, I couldn't tell if it was close so it was making them look big. Because when they show the far away shots, I don't see that much. So that's why I'm like... And I honestly wondered if I was the nephew, would I have noticed that there was, I would probably notice that there was blood on a white mantle place, but it wasn't like red.
No, but
there were just like,
I wouldn't expect that either if she just fell and like hit her head. Although you bleed a lot from your head.
That's right. Thank you. I forgot that. Okay.
And speaking of, I was going to say pop quiz time. This is the second dateline in which Christmas decorations have turned deadly. Do you know the first?
Facing the Music.
No, I literally just gave it away when I said speaking of.
Speak No Evil. Is that an episode?
Maybe. No, I don't think so.
I don't know. What is it?
Michael Peterson.
Oh, The Staircase.
Yes.
Oh.
Kathleen Peterson, who bled a lot from her head due to the talons that were the owl. Shh, don't at me. Yes, Kathleen Peterson went to the front of the estate to check on her big reindeer ornaments that were propped up to make sure they hadn't fallen down because of the wind. And while she was doing that, she was attacked by an owl. Don't say anything, guys.
So many people. I don't even know why you're saying it.
They're writing to me right now, and I don't care.
No. Okay.
You and
me
and a few of us on Twitter know the truth.
Yeah. I'm your friend in this. I am not
you.
The enemy.
So Jamie says that he used the washcloth to put pressure on Judy's head. So that explains the rag in the car. I'm like, that makes sense to me.
Yes.
But he thought it was bad enough that she needed stitches. So he said, we're going to the hospital. And she said, not Chester. Because for some reason, she hates Chester Hospital.
I can see why. I get it. I mean.
Do you really?
I mean, I don't want to go to Chester Hospital.
Because it's called Chester?
Yes.
But they live in Chester County.
That's also the county, yeah. So, but it's also, I'm wondering if she said, I don't want to go to Chester or I don't want to go to county. I'm not going to go to county at Christmas time. It's going to be all the crazies in there. I want to go to what you call. That's what I'm picturing that conversation. That did not ring false to me.
The way you're saying it sounds believable, but the way he said it sounded to me like she had very strong animosity towards a hospital, which for me is hard to believe unless maybe her husband died in that hospital.
100%. I mean, if you've spent a lot of time in a bad hospital, you never want to go to that hospital again. And if it's not an emergency and you're going to make it to the further hospital, you're going to the better hospital. I have a few hospitals around here that if I could make it to a different one, I would.
Even though it's the difference between like 3 minutes and 30 minutes.
100%.
Okay. Even though there's blood everywhere.
It made sense to me. Like in my head, I was like, oh, she's just one of those one of those people that, like, she just doesn't want to deal with County today.
Okay.
Chester is the worst.
I can understand that.
Yeah. That's what I was thinking. That nurse, yeah. I don't know.
Sally Sue, she's terrible.
Both Sally Sue. Is that her name? Sally Sue. Sally Sue Sprinkles.
So
that's Terry Tinker's assistant. Santa Claus, Terry Tinker, Sally Sue Sprinkles. And she kept messing up. So he's like, F it, I'm out. I'm going to be a coroner. Later.
So they go, and she went to work at the hospital.
Yeah.
So they both gave up their profession of elfing and went their separate ways.
Right.
Their partnership was too toxic, so they had to break up.
So if you're not getting what you want for Christmas and haven't been for these last few years, we know what happened. There's been a breakdown in the administration.
Uh-huh. There's internal issues in the corporation, and it's causing problems for the consumer. So they go to the faraway hospital. It's like half an hour away. But a truck he does go on this dark kind of deserted back road instead of the highway.
That's where the alarm bells go off for me.
Yeah, it's weird. Was it rush hour?
Absolutely not. It was late at night. It's dark. Okay. I can't imagine why you would pick that unless the freeway is, I hate that freeway. Go on this road. Let's take the longer road. That I can't picture.
What?
That conversation didn't.
Yeah, let me keep bleeding out of my head.
Right. That conversation didn't happen.
Right.
The first one, maybe. Second one, nah.
So there's a truck coming and it forced them to swerve and they go down the embankment and they crash into this creek and she's thrown from the Jeep.
But they crash into a thing. What is the thing?
Unclear to me.
A stump?
Oh, maybe. A stump? Oh, maybe.
I couldn't tell from the pictures of the Jeep what they had actually run into. I was
wondering me neither.
If you saw. Oh, okay.
And also he's fine. So, but no, he says he blacked out and when he woke up, she was out of the car. So, yeah, he passed out, but he was fine. Had no visible injuries. Or minor, I don't know. So, Detective Reynolds thinks that the blood at the house looks consistent with a fall. The coroner says, well, she clearly died from a hit to the head, but we don't know if it was at the house or if it was an accident. So, two autopsies are done, and her death certificate reads, pending investigation. So pending investigation.
That's Terry, right? That's Terry Tinker doing that.
Yes. So the pending investigation means an investigation is supposed to take place, right?
Correct. Right.
Just want to make sure because it's not clear that that's actually done.
Right.
So Lester says now as we're going to commercial, an eye-popping story. Lester.
I don't know if that's good taste.
I wrote Lester, that is in poor taste.
Lester,
did he know what episode? Did he know what just happened?
Oh, he's not writing this. They're giving him a thing to read and he's doing 40 at once.
Do you think it was from another episode and it got mixed into this episode?
No, I think it was from this one.
It was just no one put that connection together.
I just think that they had a weak moment and they were rushing and were like, we need something for Lester for this next segment. Quick, quick, quick.
Right.
What about an eye-popping investigation? Okay, I don't know what that means, but okay.
Sure, we haven't used that one before in a while. Okay, sounds good.
Right.
So then we come back from commercial, and the only reason I'm pointing this out is because there's some weird things in this episode, like eye-popping story, and there's this intro music when we come back from commercial, which I mentioned in a previous week that was like weird crashing noises. And
right.
This one's like Miami Vice techno music, but it's only for like 20 seconds as we come back from commercial. So it's like the editing intern is trying to sneak in his own band.
And it's not, he's not going to get it past you. Apparently they can get it past me every time. But Kimberly Eagle Ears is like, hold on a second.
That's not Dateline music. That's techno music. And they don't do it every time. They just do it once back from a commercial break.
They're trying it out. Just let them try it out.
Okay, I'm here. I'm fine with it. Just do it then. Let's do it then. If that's, we're going to do a thing, do it all the way.
They don't want that. They want to just test the waters and see how many letters they get. And it's going to get more and more every time. And then that'll be that. And then that intern will be let go. Or his summer will be over.
Or he's promoted to music supervisor.
Right, exactly. Good job, Amber.
Okay. I thought it was a guy, but it could be a guy named Amber. We don't know.
I think
we had
Amber
a guy
did
named
it.
Raven.
We did.
So the police think it's just bad luck, but the niece, Jessie, has a bad feeling. Mm-hmm. She doesn't understand why they were going to that hospital, why they were going on the deserted back road. So she puts her amateur detective hat on, which I was like, Andrea, that's what we call ourselves. So professional amateur detectives.
She was pretty professional amateur-y detective-y in that moment. Yeah.
She, the thing is, though, it's all based on her feelings. There's like no proof of anything. She just has a bad feeling. And it's just the driving to the hospital thing is really the only thing that she has that she's unclear about that we get to know about. There might be other things that made her suspicious, but that's the only thing we hear about.
I think this is a lot of family talking. That nephew, is that her brother?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
I think brother came home and was like, something ain't right here, Jessie.
There's lots of gossiping going on.
There is in the town, which makes me think that her little hairs were already up. And uh-huh. then they really went up after the nephew found all this stuff.
Because then she gossips it to the brothers. It's like everyone's riling each other up. You know?
Correct. 100%. That's what's happening in this episode.
So she decides to call Jamie and record his call. Is that illegal? It's legal, right?
I think it's definitely illegal. And I don't know how we're able to hear it. That was confusing to me. I was like, what sort of lawyer?
That's interesting.
I don't know.
Yeah, they didn't get a warrant for a wiretap. So why are we able to hear it? That's a great point.
Are they distorting his voice, though?
Is that his voice? It did sound a tiny bit distorted, but we know who it is. So
I think that's not him. I don't think that's the actual recording. I think what we're hearing is a reenactment.
No, because then they would say reenactment at the bottom. They don't do reenactments like that.
Well, maybe they had to for this, like a re-voice enactment, re-vocal enactment. Maybe.
Maybe.
I don't know.
I feel like they would say reenactment at the bottom, like they do on, they don't do that on ID. They just figure, it's a reenactment. Because the whole show's a reenactment.
I hope some people don't know, though, because that makes me laugh. That makes me giggle.
Jessie and Jamie are on the phone, and Jessie feels like he's showing no emotion. He sounded normal to me, but I don't know what he normally sounds like. To me, it didn't sound like... I don't know when the call is happening. If the call is happening, like, the next day, then he's too stoic.
Too stoic.
But
correct.
If it's been like a couple weeks at this point, then he sounds fine to me.
I think, yeah, this is tricky. This is tricky waters. Also,
she knows him and we don't know him. So we don't know.
Correct. And I think it's also that thing where you like hear it in your head a different way than maybe people who aren't, when you have a conversation with someone and you're trying to relay, because to you in your head, it sounded one way, but it didn't actually sound that way.
Yes, that happens all the time. Like at work, someone will come and be like, did you hear the way they just said that to me? And you're like, it sounded fine. They were totally normal. I don't know. But then he says, she's in heaven. So that's the good news.
Yeah, now we're in weird
territory.
Now
we're cooking with grease. Okay, yeah. So.
Cooking with gas, girl.
What? It's either one.
Who's cooking with grease?
Like a grease fire?
Grease, no,
oil, oil.
Where did you hear that cooking with
olive
grease?
Olive oil, EVOO.
I know what olive oil is.
Or butter.
But who said cooking with grease? Where did you get that?
I think it's fine.
But I've never heard it before, so I'm asking where you got it. Is this like jogging pants for me? Or is this like, I want to know.
No one I know has said it. I just always thought, I knew it was one of them, and I always go cooking with, and I knew it's one of the two.
Gas or cooking
with fire?
Gas. Now we're cooking with gas.
Grease, maybe. It's not right then. I don't know.
I don't know. I'm curious. All right.
Anyways, whatever you're cooking with, he says, she's in heaven. So that's the good news.
Yeah.
Which is like... The good news is I was able to buy 5 boxes of Triscuits in the midst of coronavirus. That's the good news. The bad news is that I forgot to get enough cheese.
I was just going to say, the bad news is all the cheese is gone.
A rookie mistake. Yeah. But to be fair, this is my first pandemic. So I'm going to try to go easy on myself. The good news is we also have a new sponsor, the Gabriel Method.
Ooh.
If you're sick of crazy workout programs and diets that don't work or aren't sustainable, but you do want to lose extra weight once and for all, listen up, Kimberly. I'm talking to you, girlfriend. I'm talking to myself here. This scientifically proven secret to permanent weight loss is to reprogram your body to want to be thin and fit. So when your body wants to be thin, you have fewer cravings, you naturally eat less food, and you feel more satisfied. Ooh. There's a scientific method to reprogramming your body to want to be lean. John Gabriel used this method back in 2004 to lose over 200 pounds and kept it off. Since then, he's helped tens of thousands of people, just like me, hopefully, and to get down to our ideal body weight and stay that way. So if you're ready to lose the weight once and for all without restrictive dieting, I am so excited to try John's proven formula, the 12-week total transformation experience. Ooh. It's a lot of meditations and videos and things. It's not a strict diet. It's not about telling you what you have to exercise and exactly what you're supposed to eat. It's more mental, emotional. So in 12 weeks, you can completely reprogram your body to want to be thin. And I'm just about to start week one. I'll keep you guys posted about how it goes. I'm really excited. Check it out now at totaltransformationclass.com/date. That's totaltransformationclass.com/date.
Check it out, guys.
Yeah. So Jessie tells her cousins, the two guys, that she has doubts. And now they have doubts.
I think they already had doubts. I think in fairness, everybody was kind of like, this, I smell a rat. The minute that nephew, God bless him, I don't remember his name. The minute older nephew comes back and tells everybody there's blood in the house, I think that's when it all starts.
Right.
And I think from there, everyone's a little weirded out.
At how much blood there was, but you didn't think there was that much blood.
No, at Jamie, that something might be afoot here, that this isn't as cut and dry as it seems, that like there was an accident, but oh, there was an accident before the accident. Like all this information's like kind of slowly coming out. That would make me really suspicious.
Yeah.
That sounds very strange.
Oh, yeah, it definitely does. Two accidents in one night is not great.
Yeah.
So now we enter Kay Black, who is amazing. She is Judy's best friend.
Is her last name Black?
Yes. Why? Do you know a Kay Black?
No, the episode's Black Box.
Oh, I don't think it's related.
I'm just saying, it's just a coincidence. That's her last name, and their last name's in the episode title. That's all. It wasn't that exciting.
You are so excited.
I did. I got excited because I was like, oh, a title. Like maybe I could get somewhere with, oh, wait, it's already in the title. Okay.
Anyways. So Kay is Judy's best friend. Yeah. We are interviewing with her and her husband, Randall.
Oh, yeah.
Who is, I rewound it like four times.
Yeah.
He is, I believe, chewing gum / smacking tobacco or something during the interview with Andrea. And then the noise that is like a continues on for like almost into the next scene. And it sounds like horses are clip clopping. There are lots of sound things going on in this episode. And I was like, is that his shoes now? Or is they were walking outside, so he couldn't have been chewing that loudly, but he's definitely making gestures with his mouth, and I hear a like that.
Yeah.
And so I'm guessing gum or tobacco. Anyways, it's fine. We have several people chewing gum in this episode. So, and I don't mind. I'm a gum chewer myself. I probably wouldn't do it during an Andrea interview or if I was testifying in court. But that's just me.
Different strokes.
Different personal choices. So but it is funny because it's when Kay is crying about how much she misses her friend Judy.
I totally did not notice him doing that. I was very focused on Kay. I did not notice him smacking his way through.
You hear like the chewing noises in the background as she's like, I miss my best friend. So it turns out they were all in a bike riding club called the Carolina Thunder Christian Biker Club Helping Hands and Harleys, better known as CTCBCHHAH, which rolls right off the tongue.
I had Carolina Thunder Christian Motorcycle Club.
I thought it said Biker Club.
Motorcycle Club. Biker is from the other quote.
Okay, that's possible.
I had the CTCMCHH and H.
Okay.
Triple H.
That's fair.
Triple H. CTCMC Triple H.
CTCMCHH. Would you go Triple H? Or would you go HHAH? You don't usually put an A in when it's whatever that's called.
The ampersand. I wrote that. I wrote the ampersand.
Oh,
I didn't actually write out and.
HH so, and H.
Right. So I had HH and H.
So you had CTCMCHHAH.
I did not have an A because I had an ampersand. So I just did triple H.
But you would pronounce the ampersand as an and.
But I just did a triple H because it was clever, like triple D. Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives. They don't say the and in Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives. They go triple D.
They do?
Yeah.
Who says that?
That's
Guy Fieri?
No, that's like the phrase for it. Triple D. Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives. Yeah. That is a common thing. That is not a Katie thing. Promises.
I believe you. I'm just really surprised.
I'm surprised that I know it, but
yeah. Sometimes. I'm just surprised that they call it that too. So it's sitikmcha.
It's like
I was gonna say a Hebrew sound.
I like it. It is. This is the big that I didn't. I wrote it all in caps. I was.
What did you think they said though? That you thought it was something else? Can I guess?
When they kept saying Christian bike club. That's where you were getting
biker
from.
Were you hearing book club or were you hearing fight club?
Neither one of those. Oh my gosh, I wasn't hearing any of those.
Oh, because on Twitter people were saying fight club or book club.
Oh, I heard Christian nightclub. So I thought they were going clubbing. So I was like, when is the Christian nightclub? Like, this is going to have a seedy
when
underbelly.
When are we going to the discotheque?
In South Carolina. I could not wait. And then I was like, oh, bike club.
But it showed them with bikes. They're standing by their bikes.
It was immediately after this that I understood that it was bike club. But up until then, in the preview at the beginning and then later again before the commercial, we've heard Christian bike club twice.
Okay.
And like coming up.
I gotcha.
I was like, so I honestly heard Christian nightclub and then they showed the motorcycle club and I was like, oh, it's bikes. I'm a dumb.
Which would you prefer?
This was delightful because the insertion of the word thunder is so good.
Okay. So Kay knows that Jamie and Judy's marriage wasn't that great because Judy, as the best friend, would confide in her. And he's telling everyone they had the best marriage, like perfect. Even though the detective keeps saying, well, no relationship's perfect, Jamie. And he's like, ours was pretty close to perfect. And he's like, we never fought. And the detective's like, everyone fights. And he's like, ask any of our friends. We never fought. So Kay knows from Judy that this is not true.
Right.
A few months before her death, Judy had thought that Jamie was having an affair with the club's treasurer, Terry. It's always the treasurer. I was the treasurer and co-founder of the environmental club at my high school, and I was sleeping with everyone. Also, another famous treasurer was Alexander Hamilton, and that guy was chasing so much tail that Martha Washington named her Tomcat after him.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Did you notice that almost all the names in this episode are gender neutral? We've got a Jesse, we have a Jamie, we have a Terry. Sorry, two Terrys.
Kay.
I'm just saying, I can't. If you didn't know, you would be like, wait, who is the, is that the wife? Is Jamie the wife? No.
Yeah, it's confusing.
Judy is the only one that we're pretty sure that's a lady. Yeah.
Thank God for Judy. Okay. So Kat is loving spilling the tea to Andrea.
Oh, yeah.
That Jamie and Terry would go out and smoke together, and it would raise a lot of eyebrows within the club because one would go to smoke and be like, come with me. And Randall, the husband that's chewing a lot, he's into it too, spilling the gossip. And he's like, there was lots of touchy-feely stuff happening. And I loved it because, you know, I love when the couples love to gossip with each other as they're brushing their teeth. That's my ideal relationship. So loved Kay and Randall. Judy says to Kay, do you think he's having an affair? Yes, my best friend, what do you think? And Kay says in her accent, well, maybe, maybe not. No one knows for sure, but everybody's talking about it.
God bless us, everyone.
Bless us, everyone.
That was...
Yes, that's a good friend, too. That's like a, it don't even matter, honey, because everyone's talking about it, so it might as well be true.
Like, oh, wow. I loved Jimmy and Sally down at the Pig and Poke. They were just going on, and I overheard them, and I walked over, and I said, okay, now this is none of y'all's business.
I can talk about it because she's my dear friend.
Right.
So good. So, love Kay. Judy confronted Terry and she confronted Jamie and they both denied that anything was happening, but Judy totally didn't buy it. So, after Judy's death, Kay, the best friend, decides to go to the Suns and tell them about the Terry situation.
Okay.
And Kay is a little bit of a nosy Nelly, and I still love her, but I don't know if she had to go to the Suns with this information. She goes to the cop about the information, which she should.
That seems correct.
But she goes to the Suns and tells them, hey, your stepdaddy might have been sleeping around on your mama, but what... That was a weird accent that I just did.
I liked it. It was a combo. It was a hybrid accent and originality unknown.
Yeah. Origin unknown.
That's what I meant.
The Suns think about something that happened that was weird, which was the night of the accident when they got to the hospital, Terry was already there. So she got to the hospital before the Suns. When was she called? Did Jamie call her first or
from the ambulance?
Yeah, exactly. Like, did he call her before he called the Suns?
How big is this town? Or did somebody at the hospital?
It's very small, I guess, but okay. I don't, it's, they thought that was weird. So
good questions.
Then Kay decides to tell the Suns something that no Suns want to hear, which is, your mama told me that Jamie's been trying to get her to have a threesome with Terry. And so, yeah. Thanks, Kay. That's a really special story that I'm so glad you told me about my dead mother.
I can't. Why would... This sort of makes me, like, cock my head and say, Kay.
Because Kay, I love Kay. She brings the drama.
I do, too. But, Kay, you know you didn't need to tell them that part. That part you could have just told the police, and you definitely didn't need to have a sit down with the Suns,
right?
About Jamie wanting to have a threesome,
right? And Andrea says there was a story that another story Kay felt she had to tell Judy's Suns about, but she says it like really normally. She doesn't say it with the amount of shade in my voice, but I felt like was that shade.
I think Andrea did that take a few times. I think that was hard to like get out without
Andrea
sounding shady.
Andrea is so grossed out when she's talking to the Suns about this. She's like, you didn't want to hear that, did you?
Yeah,
no, you didn't.
No, you didn't.
Also, are threesomes something that practicing members of a Christian bike club do? No? Is that
but if you were part of something called the Thunder Mountain Christian Roller Derby Bike Motorcycle for Christ, I would definitely think...
CTCMCHHAH.
I would think for sure that you guys are swingers on the side.
You would.
I would. That would be an unfair assumption, but it would be an assumption I would make.
That's valid. So Kay tries to tell the detective She feels like he's brushing her off. I kind of feel like Kay calls the detective a lot, and he might brush her off just because she calls a lot. Hi, Kay. Okay.
You think she does?
It's you again.
I couldn't tell that. You think okay. so?
Yeah, a little. Okay. All right. But the sons don't feel like the detective is paying attention to them either.
Right.
So then this is the part where, no, did you get this part or no?
So the commercial break happens. The commercial break happens. Kay calls the detective. Jesse's upset about the detective. The sons are upset at the detective. And we go to commercial break. And for anybody who's tried to watch this online, you'll know there's a big chunk missing. So Kimberly's seen it. But I haven't.
Right.
Because she watched it live. So this is a very exciting new thing that we're doing tonight.
Not on purpose, just because of the website.
Just because.
Having a piece missing.
I don't know anything until the end.
Okay. So the big news that happens that gets tongues a wagon is that Terry and Jamie move in together, which for some reason grosses me out even more than the thought of the threesome is like them cohabitating. And also now that they live together, they're probably now trying to coerce other members of the CTCMCHHAH to come over and swing with them. But what's even grosser than the thought of that is how badly this investigation is going. And in that there pretty much isn't an investigation. So we meet this lady who is... I thought a district attorney, but she's not. She's a, I wrote down her official title. It's like a funny title that I don't recall. And so she...
Is this Candace Lively?
Candace Lively, yes.
Okay.
So she asks the detective, Reynolds, are you guys looking into this? And he says, yeah, my office is looking into it. But here's the catch. They weren't looking into it. So there's that. Because he seems to still think that it's an accident. Now, the exciting part of this is that for the third week in a row, a man unworthy to be in the presence of our Queen Andrea sits down for a royal meeting, and he's going to get the business. So,
Who?
Detective Reynolds.
Oh.
So he sits down with Andrea. He's sitting in Andrea's hot seat.
We've already met Detective Reynolds at the beginning with the salt and pepper beard. We meet him at the beginning.
Yes, now he's getting Andrea's fire.
Oh, so this is the hard-hitting interview part.
Yes.
Okay, I get you. Okay.
Yes, but he's probably so distracted by her perfectly made-up face. It's not a wonder that he kind of messes up what he's trying to say and doesn't come off looking that great.
Absolutely.
Do you think she uses Thrive, Katie?
If you're using the words... perfect made-up face and Thrive in the same sentence, I'm going to say yes.
Okay.
Because when it comes to beauty products, there are so many choices. Why not demand more from your favorite brands? I'm more motivated than ever this year to stick with high-quality, amazing products that are both vegan and cruelty-free. Leaping Bunny, y'all, that's where it's at. And that's why I love Thrive Cosmetics. And that is cosmetics, as in C-A-U-S-E.
For a good cause.
Always for a good cause. Thrive Cosmetics, they believe in giving back. For every product purchased, Thrive Cosmetics help women in need thrive by donating funds or products.
That's great.
It's really great. Especially when they are a company that is focused on outer beauty. It's definitely something that promotes inner beauty, which is really cool. So I've talked a bunch about a few different Thrive products, mainly the mascara, the CC cream, and now I'd like to talk a little bit about the skincare. I know that I have mentioned the Overnight Sensation Mask, which is amazing, but there is a counterpart to that mask, which is the Essential Cleanser. So you think about Thrive and you think about makeup, but they're also an incredible skincare company, too. The Bright Balance 3-in-1 Cleanser is a multitasking, pH-balanced, gentle formula that removes long-wearing waterproof makeup, all you full coverage ladies out there, and leaves your skin feeling soft, glowing, and never that stripped or dry feeling. Do you know what I'm talking about? Where like it feels like your face is cracking?
Yeah.
That feeling is great if you're 18, but like the minute you hit 30, you don't want that feeling anymore because it means you're drying your skin out. the 3-in-1 cleanser is packed with age-defying hydration-boosting ingredients. It is like this gel-to-foam formula, which I personally love. It is pH balancing and gentle enough for someone with sensitive eyes, which is really important because I have the kind of eyes that I can only use certain kinds of eye makeup remover. Mm-hmm. So it's fantastic to have a product like this out there, especially one that works really well with the overnight sensation, which I've already talked about. And if you haven't checked it out yet, definitely check out the overnight sensation as well. But give the Bright Balance 3-in-1 cleanser a glance too, because I'm really enjoying it and I think you will too. So everybody is going to be able to start thriving and helping women in need today by going to thrivecosmetics.com/datedateline. Use code DATEDATELINE for 15% off your first purchase.
You said that like Oprah. Everyone gets a 15% off.
You get a 15% off. You get a 15% off. That's Thrive, C-A-U-S-E, medics.com/DATEDATELINE. Code DATEDATELINE for 15% off.
That's awesome.
ThriveCosmetics.com/DATEDATELINE.
Thank you, Thrive.
Thank you, Thrive. What was our... You had a really good one. What was it? Start thriving.
Get ready to thrive.
Put your face in overthrive.
Okay, I like it.
Okay, great.
Andrea is sitting down. She's going to grilly grill Detective Reynolds, which I love. So first of all, she says...
I'm ready for the grilling.
Yeah.
Ready for the barbecue.
The night of the accident, did you collect Jamie's clothes or Judy's clothes? Pretty common, right? No, he did not. Did you collect either of their cell phones? No, he did not. Then she says, well, earlier in the investigation, the coroner had told you that it looked suspicious to him. And so then Andrea's like, wouldn't that make you start collecting evidence? Mm-hmm. And he's like, well, yeah, we kind of did, but he doesn't really give a good answer. So then Andrea brings up the photos of the evidence at the house. So when they did go to the house and they did take pictures, yay, props to him.
All right.
The photos look like my mom took them. They look like Joni has put her thumb partially over the lens, yeah, and is holding the camera directly at the sun because it is just waves of rays of light going across like an 80s music video. Like the More You Know shooting thing is going across. You can't see a single thing in the photo. And so that's what the photos look like. And Andrea's like, they don't look very good. And Reynolds goes, yeah, the camera we have is not great. And Andrea's like, well, you know how to take a picture or not? Like, basically, do you know how? Yeah. And he says, well, that camera's always given me trouble.
Then it's time to get a new camera, buddy.
Yeah,
call the county.
Which it's also what Joni, God bless her, says about her phone every time Messenger disappears and she can't text with me anymore. It's because her phone deleted Messenger. Sure.
Is her phone deleting Messenger?
Of course not.
Somehow
our podcast disappears and she can't find it. She calls me, she can't find it because she's somehow unsubscribed, but her phone did it. It's always the phone's fault, basically.
So, question. Have you, for lack of a better term, grilled or barbecued your dad about this?
What would he know?
You don't think that he's doing it?
No, he'd know. He wouldn't even know how if he wanted to.
It would be a funny little prank.
He would have to go to classes to learn how
to
do it.
Your dad knows how to use his phone.
No, he doesn't. And my mom is already going to classes still. It's been a year. She still goes to like classes several times a month to learn how to use her phone.
Let Mama Joni graduate. Is that what it is?
Donna Martin graduate. Yeah. So it's true. Some people just aren't super technologically savvy. And apparently Reynolds does not know how to take a photo without having like sun rays
shooting
across.
But also, Joni's not a detective.
No.
She's not delving into the meat of a murder or a possible
murder. The photos she might take are not depending, yes, on the fate of a man.
Correct.
So Detective Reynolds says they didn't bring in a blood expert to look at the blood in the house to see if it actually matched what Jamie was saying happened.
For a blood spatter expert. They didn't bring... All right.
The detective is just the one who said it looked fine to him. But there wasn't, like, an actual...
Is he friends with Jamie? Because he said he was friends with Judy.
No, he had never met Jamie. He was friends with Judy. Or
is he friends with Terry?
That's a good question. I don't know. So then Andrea says, well, did you tape up the crime scene? No.
Well, because that's how Nephew got in. Or we don't know if Nephew was there before. Oh, for goodness sakes. Okay.
And then I might be remembering this part wrong because I saw it that last night, but I haven't gotten a chance to rewatch it again because it's not online. But in my mind, Andrea and Reynolds play a game of Never Have I Ever. And Andrea says, never have I ever allowed a suspect to clean up a crime scene. And Reynolds has to take a drink.
Yep.
So the night of the accident, Terry, who's at the hospital, she's the maybe mistress, comes up to Detective Reynolds and says, can I go clean up the blood at the house? This is the night of the crime. And not only does Reynolds say, sure, he gives her the number of a crime scene cleaning company.
What are they called?
I don't know. That's what you were hoping for? The splatters are us.
I was going to say bodies are our business. No.
Blood, but moving blood, bleach and things.
The BBB, bleach, blood, bodily fluids.
There you go.
We specialize in the BBB. Okay. Right. So, but we got to think of a name. Keep going. It'll come to me. I'll get there.
So he's saying, yes, I did. I said she could go clean the crime scene. And then he says, I mean, she asked me. It's not like I told her she could do it. She asked me if she could. Anyone would have said yes. And Andrea's like, yeah, sure. You were just being a gentleman, right? Like, it's ridiculous.
What's wrong with him?
He thought it was an accident. He really just thought it was a full-on accident. So,
like,
yes,
from the jump and never thought anything else.
Yeah. So, of course, this family friend can go clean up the blood before we've taken any samples or anything. Sure.
And I'm sorry. Who are you to the deceased? Oh, you're his maybe girlfriend? Yes. Then you definitely should go clean up the blood.
Right. That sounds perfect. So Andrea asked the female. Oh, she's the deputy solicitor. Which I thought was a fun way of saying, I don't know, it's kind of like a district attorney's office person.
Sounds like British. Okay, go ahead.
So she says, is this the most bungled investigation you've ever seen? And what's her name? Candace Lively says, I think bungled is too kind a word, basically. She says, because that would imply that there was an investigation.
Oh.
And there really wasn't. So the prosecutor, deputy solicitor, she looks into it. She's like, obviously, he's not doing it. Let's bring in a woman to clean up after a man drops the ball again. Kidding. Calm down, everybody. But she thinks it's a murder. So she goes above the detective and the sheriff to SLED, which is the South Carolina Law Enforcement Division, and she asked them to look into it. So they go to the house.
Hold on a second. SLED?
Yes, SLED. Yeah.
Okay, so is Terry Tinker, is he involved with SLED?
He might be involved with SLED.
We don't think any of this is a coincidence based on my earlier theory about his previous employment.
Katie, that's a sleigh. It's close.
It's still a holiday-y item. It's something you would get for a gift. For a gift from a person.
Great point, Rosebud. Great point. But...
Just saying.
So SLED looks into it. Mm-hmm. It's just funny because SLED is like not like SWAT. You know, it's a child's toy that you use in the snow. And it on the image, it's an image of a badge that says SLED across it.
What's the acronym again for the motorcycle club?
Oh boy.
Hold on.
Hang on.
CTCMCHHAH. Is that better or worse than SLED? It's more confusing.
There's more possibilities. You know, like you don't want an acronym that somebody else might have used because then you'll get confused with them. There's much more likelihood of that happening if you're called SLED than if you're called CTCMCHHNH.
HHHH.
Yeah. There's probably not a lot of chances that you'll be sharing an acronym.
Yeah.
So SLED goes into the house. And they take measurements of where the tree was. They measure the mantle. They take samples. They, something that was never done. And they think that it was a homicide. So now they are able to arrest Jamie for murder. But it's a really hard case because there's not a lot of evidence because there was really no investigation done at the beginning.
And it's like, it just seems like it's an appeals waiting to happen. Yeah, that's rough. Okay.
So the prosecution is so worried that it was handled so badly at the beginning that there's not enough evidence that they offer Jamie a plea deal, but he doesn't take it, which is of course not. So now it's 2019 and we're going to trial.
Oh boy.
So the prosecutor's theory is that
I'm here.
Yes, you're back with us. This.
I'm back here, but thank you for that. That was glorious.
So they think Judy called Jamie out on the affair and said, you have to end it. Right. And Jamie doesn't like being told what to do. They got into a big fight about it. He hit her with this stocking holder in the shape of Santa the mantle.
What was it?
Isn't it a stocking holder?
What was it in the shape of?
Santa.
Santa.
Conspiracy becomes full circle.
I think not.
Murder is this South Carolina or the North Pole?
You remember in Lost when you see the polar bear in season one and you like really want to know what that's about? I feel like this is a little, I think we're back there. This is a little like that.
That's amazing. Okay, so the prosecutor's theory is that she got hit with this Santa's stocking ornament thing. And the shape of the Santa actually matches, they believe, the wound on her head.
And it also, it cracked, right? Like
it's broken in half.
She said it was really heavy when you held it. I think it's this metal thing, but it has to be because it's little and it's sitting on a mantle and it has to be heavy enough to hold the weight of a stocking filled with, who knows, oranges. I don't know what people put in stockings.
Oranges?
Yeah, that's like the classic thing is you put oranges in the stocking, like an orange and some other stuff, candy, nuts. I don't know.
What is an orange the opposite of coal?
No, I think an orange was like a delight for like Tiny Tim. That was like, oh
right,
my goodness,
they
this
didn't have,
sweet
they
fruit.
All had scurvy.
Right. So orange.
Hmm. Interesting. Okay. So not that I would be delighted by an orange. Any gift, I'm happy. Just didn't not know if there was symbolism behind the orange.
No, that's not. It means nothing.
Okay. So the medical examiner for the prosecution says that she probably died within 5 minutes. So they think she died at the house. She got hit by the head. She died within 5 minutes at the house. But then Jamie starts to panic and says, well, I don't know if this fall off this ladder is going to coincide with this head wound. So then he takes her dead body, puts her in the car, drives on the deserted road where no one else will see them, and he stages the accident and he pulls her out of the car. So they bring an accident reconstructionist investigator. Accident reconstruction investigator. And he is standing there in this cute wide-brimmed hat. And he's like a little older gentleman. And he's just grinning at Andrea like he's so excited.
Loves Andrea.
Yes.
Oh,
he's
so
like
cute.
Beaming that he gets to explain this to Andrea Canning. And so he works for the Highway Patrol. So he's in his uniform. It's really cute. So he's explaining to Andrea that Jeeps have a little black box in them, which is similar to the little black boxes on planes. So when there's an accident, the box is activated and it starts recording the info, but the black box from this Jeep has no data on it, meaning right. there was never a crash that activated it, which means that he drove that Jeep into the creek extremely slowly and carefully, like not what? Hitting, which I don't know if there was dents in the Jeep or stuff that would like indicate that he had hit something really hard.
It looked like there were dents in the front. I was really confused by the Jeep itself. And then also the black box, I'm sorry, what does it record? The movement of the vehicle? Because it's not a video camera. So what is it recording exactly?
No data.
But what data?
Speeds and things like that. Yeah, I would guess. Oh. I mean, a black box in a plane usually records audio and all the technical stuff that's going on.
It does. Okay, yeah. That was my question. I wasn't sure exactly what it
recorded.
But
I don't think the black box in a Jeep would record audio. I think it's just getting all the systems that are firing in your car. They're sending data back and forth to each other, and that's what it's recording at that moment.
What is this for? Who is this for?
Well, they can show, for like example, if a car accident happens, like there was one dateline where somebody drove into like another car and they said they passed out at the wheel or something, or they said they swerved and tried to get out of the way. But they can show from the car's internal recordings that they had sped up at that moment instead of trying to slow down. So there's been a couple datelines like that. So they can really show like your intent even. Well, why were you speeding up? It shows that you sped up to 80 miles an hour instead of like pushing on the brakes like you said you were, you know?
How crazy is that? That's nuts.
Yeah. Okay. Terry takes the stand. First of all, Terry is chewing gum as she's walking to the stand.
Yeah.
She should hang out with Randall.
Well, these are all smokers. I'm not sure where you're confused. They're all either chewing Nicorette. Like, I'm not kidding.
Chewing tobacco?
No, definitely. You have to spit chewing tobacco, but they're probably chewing on like some sort of Nicorette type gum because this is very stressful.
Okay, that's valid. Guess. That's valid. Terry was nice enough to run around the courthouse a couple times because her bangs are damp.
I think they're supposed to be. I think she just got out of the shower.
10 minutes ago?
I think it's the look. I think it's called a wet gel.
It's...
Look, we've seen this before. We just haven't seen it in a while. It's an interesting choice. It's a choice.
Terry is a trip. Okay, so Terry is like not what you'd expect from a mistress. Okay?
No.
Her voice comes out, and then I thought, oh, she was chewing tobacco. Because her voice, okay, it's like B. Arthur with a cold. And she's miserable. She's like frowning, like barely opening her mouth because she does not want to say a single word. She hates that she's there.
She's the most like, monotone we've had, period.
She says about her relationship with Jamie, she says, I wasn't in love with him, but I did love him. And so the prosecutor's like, I'm sorry. So how long were you loved him, but not in love with him? And she's like, I was never in love with him. So then the prosecutor asks, were you ever in a sexual relationship? She's like, no, ma'am. And the prosecutor shows her these texts that they have between them. And at this point, we're not allowed to see what the texts are, but we are allowed to see them a little bit later. They say basically that they loved each other and they missed each other. The prosecutor says, well, did you ever say to him, you can say this to me 1,000 times a day and I'll never get tired of hearing it. And I was like, well, there goes mom's spaghetti. That's gross.
I'm grossed out
picturing the two of them. I love him, but I'm not in love with him. So she says that her and Jamie were platonic roommates. Do you have thoughts about that? We were once kind of platonic roommates.
I was sort of hoping that in the part I had missed, we had definitely had confirmation that they were dating.
No, we still don't know.
It sounds like we still didn't get that confirmation. She's so dry. I actually really enjoyed her on the stand because it's no emotion. She just answers the questions very seriously and just stares at whoever is asking her the question and looks nowhere else.
Yeah, and does not open her mouth more than is forced to be to get a little bit of sound out, but you have to listen really carefully because it's very low and like not loud. And she's, it's like she's doing it out of spite. She's like gritting her teeth the whole time.
Oh, I think it's definitely gritting her teeth.
Yeah. So, but then we get more of that at the very end of what happens. So of what has happened that's maybe caused her to have some sort of reaction. So
yeah, to being there, period.
So the prosecutor thinks that Terry may have known something about the murder ahead of time or after, but they have no proof. And in fact, like you said, they really have no proof that they were actually in a relationship. They have these texts that say, I love you a lot, but nothing like explicitly sexual or anything like that. And again, a lot of this is, I think, because the cop did not take their phones right after the accident.
Right.
So we don't know. Also, we don't know if he called her before he called the Sons to get her to the hospital early, or if they had been texting that whole night about, like, are you going to do it? You know, we don't know any of that.
Is she just saying that they were very close friends, her and Jamie?
Well, yes. So she says, so we get a little bit more of her coming up in the and we get a little bit more of the relationship when the defense talks to her. But yeah, we are still, the whole thing is still a little vague. And I would have loved to have seen Terry King, sweaty Terry King, going up against our queen, Andrea, because Andrea, I feel like, could have gotten more information out of her, like what really happened. Now we get to the most exciting part of the episode for me, which is the defense attorney and his facial hair.
Sweet Lord. What's his name? Beauregard? What's his name?
I gasped out loud.
Yeah.
Like fully out loud, I gasped. Yeah. It is wisps flowing straight to the side, like cotton candy, straight out to the side.
Yeah.
It's beyond Twitter was a hoot.
Oh, I'll bet. Was Twitter a Twitter?
Speaking of hair like cotton candy, in 2020, Care Of launched a skin and hair collection.
Ooh.
It is a line of high-quality supplements backed by scientific research and made with ingredients that are proven to support beautiful, healthy skin and hair.
I'll take it. Sign me up.
Walking down a vitamin aisle is so confusing to me. I don't know what I need to take. I don't know what a B52 is. That's a band. They sang Love Shack, Don't Be an Idiot, Kimberly. But with Care Of, you get to take an online quiz and you get scientifically backed recommendations based on your goals, lifestyles, and diet. And they now have yummy collagen powders that you can mix with water and coffee, and you can put them in smoothies and oatmeal and stuff. And collagen is really supposed to be really good for your skin. So I'm super excited to try those. There's also a Care Of app where you can reach milestones and you get rewards when you remember to take your vitamins, which is huge for me because I am a forgetter of vitamins, even if they're sitting right in front of my face. So I'm going to need the app. We love Care Of. I just retook the quiz to get my new vitamins and see where I'm at right now. And I realized from taking the quiz again that my goals have changed and my diet's changed. And now I'm getting some new things that I'm really excited about, like a probiotic for my stomach, for my belly.
Me too.
Yay. And probiotic twins and collagen for my skin. And it's vegetarian collagen because they take my needs into consideration, which is awesome. So for 50%, which I can't believe that's not a typo, off your first Care Of order, go to takecareof.com and enter code DATELINE50. That's 50% off your first Care Of order by going to Take Care Of and entering DATELINE50. Amazing.
I'm 50.
Thank you, Care Of.
Thank you, Care Of.
We're so excited. Thank you. Take
Care
Of. Oh, that was Terry. Gosh. That was how Terry says of.
That was terrible. That sounded like the Budweiser bullfrog.
That's how Terry talks. So Terry tells the defense attorney when she's on the stand that she and Jamie, when they moved in together, were actually sleeping in separate bedrooms, that they were platonic roommates. Mm. But then we get to see the texts. And the texts are, love you, I love you way more, I'm here, I love you, Terry, I love you forever and ever with a four.
Well, that's
like we're 12 years old and we're talking about boys to men or something, or someone that's culturally relevant at the age that would be now. And then one of them says, have I told you that I love you today? Exclamation point, which first of all, that's not a question. That's a question, not a statement. You know what I'm saying? Your punctuation's wrong.
I'm going to start sending you texts like that.
Okay. And secondly, is that platonic roommate language? Like, have we ever sent each other texts like that?
No.
Have I ever said I love you?
Starting today.
I'm going to get so uncomfortable.
No, I can barely get a word. I can get a one word.
So Terry says that. This is so funny coming from Terry, as we know Terry now. Terry says the texts don't mean anything because she tells everyone she loves them every day. And from this, you might be picturing someone like my mom, who is like glowing happiness and just smothers everyone with I love yous. But this is coming from frowning and sweaty Terry saying, I tell someone every day that I love them.
It's so confusing. I have no idea.
What? Do your smile muscles even work? But you're saying you tell everyone that you love them every day? And then she says that Judy was one of the best friends I ever had.
No, well, how's that? That's not real. Is that real? Was that one of the best friends she ever
Well,
had?
First of all, Kay is probably sitting there in the audience of the courtroom being like, excuse me? I was the best friend.
Oh, yeah. Kay's mad.
And then she says, weirdly enough, she says that she stayed over, that Terry stayed over at their house while both of them were home as like a friend thing. She would just stay over at their house. So she was like
the phone.
She was like their Kimberly, and Jamie and Judy were Katie and Oliver. I don't know if it was that kind of thing. And then I'm like, oh, I'm Terry. I am Terry. I'm just realizing now.
I'm Kimberly.
Wait a minute. Kimberly. Hold on a second.
I tell people I don't love you because I don't feel emotions and I get uncomfortable from sentimentality.
I don't know why I heard did not hear that voice as strongly as you did. I think it's maybe a voice blocking thing in my head. but you don't think that staying over is a, wink, wink, nudge,
well,
nudge?
We have established from Andrea that Judy would not have been into a threesome because Andrea tells her sons, your mom wouldn't have been into that. And they're like, no. So, and Kay implies very strongly that Judy was horrified by the thought of having this threesome. So,
but is that the point that...
No, she's literally... No, not at all. The opposite. She's literally saying they were my friends. Judy was my best friend.
Judy specifically,
and,
right.
And Jamie was her husband. So we were all best friends and I would go over and hang and sleep over at their house all the time. Hmm. So
okay.
The defense side says, well, the detective Reynolds didn't investigate enough. And if he had investigated and gathered evidence, the evidence would show that it was an accident. The problem with that argument is it could easily be the opposite. You could say, sure, he didn't investigate enough. And if he did, the evidence would have shown that it was murder. You could easily say either one. So the defense agrees that she hit the Santa ornament holder. That was what caused it. It wasn't that he hit it on her head. It was that she fell off the ladder and fell onto it. They bring in a blood spatter expert who says that the saturation of blood in Judy's car seat shows that she was still bleeding and still alive when she was in the Jeep. So that kind of rules out the prosecution's theory. My thinking was maybe she was just unconscious when he put her in the car and not dead. And then she died on the way to the staging of the accident. I guess
that's good thinking. I thought that was pretty strong of the defense. I thought it was really strong for the defense to use that.
I mean, he would have to, I don't know. It's weird. Like, I get what they're saying because why else would he want to stage this unless she was dead and he needed to stage it to match it. But I thought maybe he thought she was dead, but she was still bleeding because she was just unconscious. Or he was going to hit her again at the accident site.
Why is there blood on the front of the bumper of the car?
Yeah, that's weird too. There's blood on a lot of places inside the car and outside the car that are very confusing.
Okay.
I agree. But yeah, that's weird too.
Do you know what I'm saying? Why?
Yeah.
Why? What would cause that? Okay.
I don't know. They bring up three medical experts who won't say that it's murder. So there's this defense did a pretty good job, despite the guy's facial hair. The family is sure that he's not going to that he's going to get off. Pretty much. Right. They're really nervous. Three hours later, there's a verdict and they find him guilty.
I was surprised.
I was very surprised. And now before you think to yourself, well, that's a wrap on Detective Reynolds. I just made a joke.
Oh, Reynolds rap. Get a load of you.
But
top
not
score.
So, thank
a
you.
Plus.
Not. I had to point it out. So it's obviously not a good joke.
It was good. It was strong. If you had done it at the beginning of the episode, I feel like I would have been I don't know.
More adept to handle it. Okay. So he's sitting down with Andrea to take responsibility. They show him in court. He is our third chewing gum person / nicotine, whatever. But again, he's just sitting in the audience member of the court. He's not going actively chewing cud, walking to the stand. Terry. So
wow.
I know. I have feelings about Terry. So
you do.
It's because I am Terry, I've now realized. And we only hate what we see in ourselves.
No, it's not like that one thing. That hasn't happened in a while. I don't remember what that was. That one lady that you were holding up the beer.
I had a full on, but I think you took that out of the episode. You did.
I may have. It was season one. We don't have seasons. It was our first year.
You did. You took it out and I had this huge self-realization.
But it's early days. It's like maybe one of our first 20 episodes. It's very early.
I saw Kimberly. So this show is always like holding up a mirror. So he's taking responsibility. He's sitting in court. He appears to be crying. In court,
yes,
he's watching them read the guilty verdict and he's seeing the family being so relieved that he's going to go away. He's crying and he's talking to Andrea and he's kind of tearing up and he says that the case was a big learning experience for him and that he never wants to be like he never drops the ball. But that's what he did. He dropped the ball and he's really sorry for it. And it's like my head exploded. But, you know, very recently, yesterday, the day before, that someone was recently asked very publicly about their role in a huge, huge situation. So big, you might metaphorically call it a pandemic. And this person said that they took no responsibility for it, even though they had disbanded a group that sole purpose is to fight big, big metaphorical pandemics. So
yes,
the fact that this detective is fully saying like, I messed up and I do take some of the blame on this is kind of shocking to me. And also just that he went on Dateline where he knew the audience is going to rip him apart. He totally did it. And I thought that was pretty cool. So,
and I don't want to rip him apart, and nor will I. I don't think you will either, because this is what we always want, is for someone to take personal responsibility, and no one ever does.
Yeah.
And he did, and cheers to you. You're probably a decent detective. Good for you, man.
A grown-up thing to do, to say you made a mistake.
It really is. And he's owning it, and it's like, I hope I don't do it again. He's going to try really
I've
hard
learned
not
from
to do it.
He's
again.
Like, I think he thinks it made him a better detective and he will remember this every time now and not try to make those mistakes.
Yep.
So, Jamie gets life in prison. He's 60 at this time. Mm-hmm. I don't know for sure if there's a branch of the CTCMCHHAH in prison. Thinking
Ooh,
probably
good question.
Not. I don't know if he can arrange a threesome in there.
Good
luck to him. Yeah, good luck to him.
He'll be
but
fine.
Then we get a little fun.
A nugget.
A little nugget, an epilogue of sorts, but it's also a rewind. So before Jamie got arrested, but after the murder, mm-hmm. he's living with Terry, and we still don't know if they are dating or not dating. But right. they are living together, platonic roommates or not. We don't know. She asked him to move out for some reason.
Right.
And right after, He moved out. Her house burned down. He is charged with arson and got sentenced for it, I believe. So he is in jail for arson and murder.
So is he like, no, he's just, he's appealing this sentence.
Oh, I don't know how long convicted. The arson charge is.
I don't know either. I don't know. I mean, he got life for this one. So what in the world?
The thing that's weird. Oh, so this is when the niece says he's like a, what does she say? Satan spawn. So, but this is really weird because Terry still takes the stand and she,
right.
It's funny because someone on Twitter was like, God, he burned down her house, but she's still taking the stand and saying she didn't date him, which could be she's upholding his alibi, you know, like saying, no, it's, we never had an affair, which would serve him. But it also serves her because she doesn't want to be accused of having an affair either with a married man, nonetheless a murderer. So it's good for both of them to do that. And she's not taking the stand necessarily because she wants to. She's not doing it as like a favor to him where she's going to keep their little secret, you know.
It still seemed really weird.
It's strange. But when, so you're thinking since he burned down her house, she would just want to say, F it. I'm going to tell everything.
Yes.
I'm going to tell about the threesomes. I'm going to say we were having an affair. I'm going to say he wanted to kill her.
So there is a theory. And the theory is that she had a big part to play in the murder.
Right.
And doesn't want. And if she tells on him, he'll tell on her. So she is stepping back and doing nothing.
I feel like the prosecutor probably offered her some sort of immunity if she said that there was a plan and that she was part of it.
I'm guessing she didn't.
Didn't have
That's
a part of it?
The only thing I can think of. No, that the prosecutor did not offer.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. They offered him a deal. Wouldn't they
maybe
offer her a deal too?
I don't. She's in a motorcycle club. She probably doesn't trust the police.
They're a Christian motorcycle club.
I keep forgetting that. I think it's the threesome that's throwing me off.
They're helping hands and Harleys.
They're roving hands. All right.
So this episode is dedicated to Misty and Lisa, who have the same name and are both patrons. I don't know if they're related or not, and it's very confusing to me. Misty, we met at CrimeCon with her sister Haley, but I don't think Lisa is the sister. But they have the same name, but they have the same last name.
Oh, same last name. Sorry, you kept saying their names are Misty and Lisa, and I'm like, that's not the same name. Okay. Do you hear it? There's a T in one of them. Okay, you're good. Keep going. That's fine. I thought you were having a stroke. I didn't know what's going on. Okay, go ahead.
So yeah. I honestly don't know if they became patrons like around the same time and they both have the same last name and it's not a super common last name. But I know Misty because we met her and her sister at CrimeCon. But so it's very confusing. Anyways, we love them both. Misty, I love that you're a proud Hufflepuff. Lisa, I don't know if you're a Hufflepuff. I will support you no matter what, except if you're a Slytherin.
Don't but make then, promises you can't then, keep. You know that's not true.
Katie will support you.
I will support you no matter what, period. For real, though.
Yeah, you will. If yeah. I hear Slytherin, I'm going to go, huh, Lisa.
She's not going to be super kind about it. So maybe just lie. If you're a Slytherin, you shouldn't have a problem with that. Just lie about it.
Oh,
well, it's true.
Snap.
What is that? That's a real thing. That is a truth. I'm truth telling.
Thank you, Misty and Lisa. We
Thank
love you
guys.
Thank
you so much,
Thank
guys.
Thank you. So did you have any B-roll bonanza that was exciting?
Yeah, not super exciting. Did you have some good Twitter tonight?
I had some Twitter, yeah.
Oh, I'm excited about that. Okay, B-roll, I just wanted to talk about how the fall foliage just seems flipping stunning. Now you got me on the train, and I keep looking at all these overhead shots being like, I want to go to there.
Right? Doesn't it look nice? It's nice living in places that have nature.
No, I do. I would like that. I would enjoy that, I think.
The niece has a golden. Love that.
Oh, yeah, she did.
Mm-hmm. The accident reconstruction guy is looking through a microscope at a light bulb, and it made me wonder if I should add microscopes. Looking at microscope.
Oh, microscope
to bingo
just period.
Cards, to the bingo cards. Yeah. So I might. And then Detective Reynolds, who we are saying don't shame him anymore on Twitter. He's typing on a HP laptop with a bright red. It's either the computer's bright red or it's his cover. It showed a lot of personality, and I really liked it. I don't know where he got it. I had a bright red cover on my last laptop. So.
Oh, you did. I remember
I
that.
I did.
Yeah, that was cool.
Anyways, I liked it. It was a little pop of color.
Yeah,
Fashion Police?
Yeah, we have niece Jessie in the fuzzy leopard sweater, and I like that fuzzy leopard. I'm okay with that.
I actually really liked it. I normally don't like animal print, and I especially don't like animal print in the courtroom for no reason whatsoever. I don't know why I'm dying on this hill, but I am. But I really, I don't know, but I really liked that sweater. I thought it was really cute.
You would be dang cute in that sweater, and I'm not going to say if I immediately went online to look for one for you, but I might have, because I thought you would be really cute in that, and I thought it would be really fun for you to have an animal print something.
Andrea looked great.
Always. No
she
surprise.
Had a yellow sweater that I thought was really nice. She had a green dress. She
had a fuchsia jacket.
Oh, yes, she did when she was walking down that embankment.
Yes.
And it looked great in the foliage. It was a real pop of color.
It looked really good.
The judge was wearing a bow tie, which I always think is a fun look.
It was fun. I liked it. I thought it was cute.
Alternative theory? Santa.
You think straight up Santa, not a part of Santa's team. It was the man himself, Mr. Claus.
I do.
Okay.
Has he ever been an alternative theory before? Maybe.
I don't think we've ever had such a clear through-line connection to Santa before this episode that I made up in my head.
No, it really was Santa that killed her. A image of him, at least.
Oh, it was. Also, Bran's unhappy being on Dateline.
Santa.
It's Santa, Christmas.
Bike and, clubs.
Well, okay. Clearly,
threesomes.
Clubs.
Threesomes, because no one wants to imagine that.
Big Thunder Mountain Railroad?
That you made it about that, but yeah.
It's the only thing I can think of.
Thunder Down Under?
Yeah, that too.
Has a good reputation, I think. I don't think they got hurt by this.
I think they have a question. No, I think they have a good... Do they? Are they a ripoff? Do we know?
No, I think they're loved. I think they're beloved.
They're a fun show?
I think so. I've never seen them, but I think so.
Okay. Who was the bike club president? Who was the motorcycle club president?
Well, you got to think if the treasurer
is Terry, who's the president? Who's El Presidente?
If the charisma of Terry is not able to get her the presidency, a sunshine in a can, I don't know who the president would be.
Randall, Kay's husband. Okay.
I would love that.
Or twist, Terry Tinker.
Maybe.
Twist, Detective Reynolds.
Oh, no, because he's never met him. He's very specifically has never met Jamie.
Is it too specific? Is that true?
They said it. Why else would they say it?
I don't know. Just
specifically.
It seems weird that he says he loved Judy. He really liked Judy. And you didn't know her husband? Well, maybe not.
They hadn't been married that long.
Okay. How long have they been married?
Unclear. I just made that up.
Okay.
But her husband died 10 years before, and I think they got married maybe a few years. Maybe they had been married for like 5 years. I don't know.
You know, I have a question about Todd, the first husband. I don't want to point out the obvious, but I do kind of. He died in a motorcycle accident.
Yeah, but she kept riding, though, because that's what he would have wanted, probably.
I would not know if I would be able to keep riding, is what I'm saying.
I feel like it's so ingrained in your bones. If you're a rider, you ride, and then you, like, they always do memorial rides for people, like, not that necessarily died in a car accident or motorcycle accident. I just feel like, I don't know.
I mean, Oliver obviously rides a motorcycle, but he hasn't ridden one in about a year and a half, and it's not like he misses it. I wouldn't say it's in his bones.
I don't think it's in his bones. If he's not part of the CTCM... CHHAH, then it's not in his bones.
Fair enough.
Titles.
Barf. I wanted some really good ones. Well, why? We could have had a lot of like legitimate ones this time.
Sex Lies in a Christian Bike Club.
100%. Sex Lies in Audio Tape. She taped him.
Yeah.
What's the other one that she says? Satan Spawn.
Satan Spawn. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
An eye-popping story. Lester. Lester.
Terry Tinker's Big Adventure. Terry Tinker, Talk of the Town. Terry Tinker.
Journey from the North Pole.
Yeah, there we go. That's perfect.
Here's mine. Ready? Secretary of the Treasury.
Okay. That's good. Secretary. It's good. I like it.
I just changed a letter.
That's very good. Very clever. Wait, what about Little Judy Big Heart?
Oh, that's nice. That's nice. Also, now that we're saying Little Judy, it reminds me of like Little Edie.
Oh, does this remind? Oh, yeah.
The label is faded. I can't read the label.
I can't do that accent. Sorry. And again, I am not doing Grey Gardens. I am doing Jinx Monsoon's impression of Grey Gardens, Edie in Drag Race. That's it. Okay. That's all I'm going to say. Wait, and let's do Twitter.
We watched Grey Gardens together, and then we went to that musical parody of it that was very funny.
We went to a musical?
A musical parody of Grey Gardens, yeah.
I didn't see that.
With Lady Gaga?
I didn't see it. You didn't take me.
It wasn't like with Lady Gaga. Yeah, and we watched the movie together. And then we went to the musical. My friend was in it. It was at the little, like, little theater inside, like, a restaurant.
Was it in the Cavern Club? Yes, I remember that. Okay. Delightful.
Jeez,
I do remember that.
Obviously, it didn't hold that big of a memory to you.
No, I'm more worried that why can't I remember that? Why am I blocking out happy memories and not just sad ones? My boxes are all out of whack.
I'm nice to you sometimes.
See, my boxes got opened and stuff got shuffled and now I'm in trouble. Mm-hmm. So, no good.
Mm-hmm. Okay, there's going to be a lot about the mustache, just warning you. Kevin D said, does anyone else think the guy with the wild mustache does a Confederate general cosplay on the weekends?
Yes.
Yes.
Correct.
Nostalgia Prep says, shut the F up, Colonel Sanders. Barry Wine, who's our friend Sheila, who we met at CrimeCon, said, what is this facial hair called? And Harley B said, I called it a handlebar goatee, but I now realize his chin is bare. Barry Wine said, I called it mutton chops, but boyfriend pointed out I was wrong. Yep. Harley said, so original, it doesn't have a name. Do we think it has a name? I now want to call it Confederate General. Confederate General.
Yeah, I think that's fine. The Confederate General. Yeah, I like it.
The LX1. This lawyer looks like his mama was a walrus that married Wilford Brimley.
Ha! Goo goo ka-choo. I like it.
Andy W. Wright said, holy moly, what in the Confederate Army is growing on that man's face?
It really is. It really is. Like,
and Brad Milner said, what in the Civil War is going on with that facial hair?
Yeah.
Sister Celluloid said, these are not two people you want to picture having an affair. And I agree. Come on. Anastasia Beaverhausen said, Terry, Jesus in the streets. Also, Terry, freak in the sheets.
I'm sorry. Anastasia Beaverhausen is from what?
Will and Grace.
Okay, there we go.
This was Karen's pseudonym. I'm Will and Grace.
That's right.
Nikki Bay for life. Bike clubs and all the sexy times. Christians have all the fun. I need to take stock of my life.
Yeah.
Andy C. Wright again said, oh, the years of guilt have not been kind to the treasure of the bike club.
Oh.
Okay. Dateline producer said that Lance Trotter, he was the crime scene investigator guy, the accident reconstructionist.
Yes.
Also used the tire impressions that were left at the crime scene to help him conclude that the Jeep was traveling at a slow speed. So he actually did an investigation.
Wow. That's fascinating.
That's
okay.
What it's like when someone does an investigation. Wow. Brad Milner, wait, another dumb mistress cleaning up the crime scene. No peen is that strong, ladies. I believe he is referring to the rodeo queen.
Oh, absolutely he is. Yeah.
In Deal with the Devil, Bargain's Basement.
Deal with the Devil. Yeah, Bargain, Filene's Basement, Bargain.
Devil's Bargain.
Fire sale. That's it, yeah.
Andrea Canning said, I shot that interview with coroner Terry Tinker in the morgue on my birthday.
Oh, Andrea.
Andrea.
Bummer.
Kaisler Sose said, horny Christian bikers? Take the wheel, Jesus.
Oh, man, why didn't I get there? I'm so upset. Good job.
I know. It's good. Blackstar_PI. I used to work hotel security, and the most sex crazy groups that stayed there were always Christian groups. We had to have extra security.
I'm telling you, I still haven't told you my one story I'm saving about Magic Mountain. Just get ready. You're not ready.
Oh, my God. Okay.
Well, this last time I went, like a couple months ago.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there was a convention.
Oh. That Stephanie One said, Queen Andrea, thrice.
Thrice is nice.
Anna Falk 33 said, Queen Andrea can pull off lime and lemon colored tops. A rare talent.
Yeah, seriously.
Pam C said, well, yes, I gave her advice on how to clean up a crime scene, but she asked, # it's okay then, # what choice did he have? He could have said no. Come on, dude, Reynolds. That's literally his excuse. Well, she asked me. What was I supposed to do? Anna Falk 33 said, I'm not in love with pizza rolls, but I love pizza rolls.
Yeah, there we go.
Aaron Elizabeth, this defense attorney's mustache, though, Yosemite Sam is quaking.
Oh, Yosemite Sam. There we go. It's the Yosemite Sam. Mm. That's it. Yeah.
Is that the name of it?
No, but that's definitely, I would call that the name of it.
Okay.
The Yosemite Sam. Yeah.
That's Life said, a threesome in the Thunder Christian Club. That's not the Trinity you would think.
Wait a minute. Can I get anywhere with, and the thunder rolls in the hay? And the thunder rolls. It's a song.
Oh, I didn't know it was a song.
Oh, darn it. Okay, never mind. Try.
But yeah, if I had known, yes.
If you had known any Garth Brooks, yes. Okay.
Yeah. That's it for tonight, folks.
That's it?
That's it. Sorry.
That was pretty good Twitter, though. I was still trying to think of a name for the bloody cleanup crew. It'll come to me.
Yeah, I'm tell me and I'll tweet it out.
I got as far as bloody gloves. I can't. I mean, it's right there. I just can't reach it. Okay.
Thank you, everyone. Follow us on Instagram and Twitter. And just a reminder again, I don't check Facebook almost ever. So if I'm not responding to you, it's not because I hate you. I hate the platform. Don't hate the player, hate the platform. But consider becoming a Patreon, because you guys are the reason that these episodes come out free for the public every week. We really couldn't do this without you guys.
Free for the public. But on Patreon, that's for the private.
Oh, private in the streets? Should public we be? In the streets?
There we go.
Private public, in the sheets.
Public in the...
Patreon, public in the streets, Patreon in the sheets.
Oh my. That sounds filthy. Can we come up with an acronym for Patronuses? Because maybe that's the problem. Mm-hmm. Because we have Patropods, Patroni, Patroni, Patronicesses. Which is a play on Dionysus. I don't know. Like, like they're gods. Okay. But why don't we do an acronym that's like all the PPP NPP squared. Like, let's come up with something.
Okay.
That's everyone's task. Patreons, you have homework. We need a good acronym for Patreon.
You get to it. Guys, you know you're not in school anymore because of the coronavirus. So now you have your real job.
You have
to do.
Time. You have time. So that's,
you have all
that's
the time.
The moral
world.
Of the story is I want a title as impressive sounding as the Carolina Thunder Christian Motorcycle Club.
Speaking of which, don't watch alone. Watch with the CTCMCHHAH because they are currently recruiting for new members.
If you're good with money, I think there's a treasury opportunity for you there. So if you're a CPA, hit them up.
A CPA in the CTCMCHHAH CPA.
Should that just be the business card? It's just all letters. And if you don't get it, you don't get it. And they're real snotty about it. No, except they're Southern, so they're very polite. Maybe this isn't for you. And they like take it back.
Don't you worry, you're a pretty head. I'm sure you have other things to occupy your time. I'll just take that.
Not all of us can afford higher education. Yeah, it's real subtle.
You're doing the best that you can, though, and yeah. I admire it.
Yeah, it's admirable. I don't know why they're always from Savannah. They're not.
I don't know.
They're in Southern Carolina, but I don't know what that accent is. All right.
Bye, everyone.
Bye, everybody. because the insertion of the word thunder is so good. And it's something that I've been trying to get people to name their children this for a while, to give thunder? Them the middle, to give them the middle name Thunder.
I have
pushed it on several of my friends that are having children. Like, have you thought about Thunder as a middle name? Because it's real good.
Yeah,
like,
it's really
they're a
good.
Superhero. Also,
not when you're giving birth, the dad can go, bring the thunder.
Yes. There's so many good things. And also, my favorite quote of 30 Rock. And Jenna says, my whole life is thunder. Like, you stole my thunder? And then she turns around and says, my whole life is thunder. And I really wanted that on a shirt for a long time.
That's funny. I'll put it on a shirt.
I could. I put it on a mug or something. I don't know. No mugs. Anyways, Thunder is the best, right? It's the best. Thunder Mountain Railroad. Come on.
It's the worst ride at Disneyland, but it's fine.
But let's do that from now on when people ask us our last name. And if I had thought of that before the article, I would have said my last name is Thunder.
Yeah, I was thinking that the other day. Like, why did we not use fake last names? We could have just used fake last names. We should have just decided on using fake last names.
But, like, amazing last names.
Katie Thunder.
Yeah.
And Kimberly Boisfontaine.
Kimberly Boisfontaine. Why did we do it?
I don't know. I know. Really dumb.
Sometimes I'm really mad at us. This is one of those times.